Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
All right. Well, good evening, I should say, because it's a little late now. But good evening and welcome to Keep On Cyber Truckin'. My name is Eric. We have a Will, and Chase is at a remote destination location. And how you guys doing?
Doing good. I was gonna say I'm enjoying the hill country of Austin. We're on a for my data job, we're on a work retreat, so we're in a very expensive house that I never would afford, even with the Cybertruck. It's like I'm happy to enjoy.
I don't know, man. I think you're inching closer to it with everything that's going on.
Working. Yeah, and actually the funny story about that is that there's another Cybertruck in San Antonio. He goes by Cybertruck Helios. Shout out. We were planning on meeting up and actually both going and taking our Cybertrucks to the Oasis. It was cute because like our Cybertrucks were going to have a little date. We were going to like take some pictures. But it rained that day that we were planning for it. So, I mean, time is tight, honestly, because we're trying to keep it rented out as possible. We, the little short stints that we have with it, we try to capitalize.
So now you guys got to fill me in. What is the Oasis? This I'm getting a little jealous that Chase's Cybertruck is getting taking a date.
Chase lives probably there because he's probably like, whatever, you know. It's like Orlando people being like, it's Disney World, whatever, it's right.
Mm-hmm.
But being an out-of-stater, it's like it's absolutely a gorgeous location. It's at the, cool. the absolute top of this mountain ridge. It's a restaurant and a series of shops with a little parking mm-hmm. garage and everything. And it's just what it says it is. It's like a nice little oasis up on this high mountaintop overlooking – which lake is that? Is that
– Lake Travis. It's like the main lake outside of
Austin. I was worried it was going to be Lake Travis and I was going to say it's something else. And everybody in Texas would be like, idiot. But yeah, it's such an awesome location. It's gorgeous. You know, you can watch the sunset and have a nice meal mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So I guess shout out to the Oasis, not a sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah.
But
no.
They're awesome. Good for them.
Great tour spot.
No. Which, Chase needs to work on that sponsorship.
I know. We need to work on it because so last week for the solar eclipse, my truck got rented out for the eclipse. Great guy named Scott. They him and his partner flew in from out of town just to see this the eclipse, and they rented our Cybertruck to kind of make it memorable. Funny side that connects to the Oasis is that just down the hill from the Oasis is a place called the Hippie Hollow, which is the nudist beach. So when I'm like, I checked in on the rental, I'm like, oh, I wonder where they went for the solar eclipse. They took the truck out to Hippie Hollow and they watched the solar eclipse from the nude beach. So there probably was a couple of bare moons out there.
Yeah. Did they disconnect the sentry cam is the question.
I would hope so. I didn't check.
You might have some brilliant information in there.
You might have a show on your hands.
Uh-huh. That's why it's getting deep-cleaned today. Yeah.
Yeah. Only Cybertrucks.com.
Yeah. Just real quick, our good friend Jay is watching us right now.
What up,
so.
Jay? Welcome to
hey, Jay.
Back. Dude keeps coming back for more. I love it.
He's here every week. We got to give him a shout out. We appreciate you, Jay. Okay, so besides the nude beach, let's jump into some Cybertruck news because
a few things have happened in the last couple of days. I didn't know if you knew that.
There has been quite a bit has happened. So let's just dive right into it, right? Let's get into, I think the thing that's on the most popular thing right now is the infamous pedal gate.
Yep. Pedal gate. Yep.
So, what say you guys? I mean, this has been going around all of the news outlets. It's become a big deal. What's going on? Tesla has delayed what looks like they've delayed all deliveries right now.
Until the 26th or something like that. Something pretty substantial, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they delayed everything and all the deliveries. So there's people that are upset because they had delivery dates locked in, and those are being pushed out due to this delay. So
yeah,
I know, Will, you were explaining to us before the podcast started about your thoughts, and not sure if you want to dive into that.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I've been driving a Tesla for a while. So honestly, I'll admit, like a couple of days ago, I got emailed by NBC News because I had talked to them previously about the Cybertruck forum post where I posted about the corrosion spots. Long story short, that didn't really become anything. But she emailed me asking me about what I thought about this accelerator thing. And I'll admit, I first replied to her email just saying, "Oh, they've been complaining about quote unquote unintended acceleration in Teslas since." I don't know, like since like 2017, I think there were cases of them being like, "Oh, it just accelerated on its own," and they were always found to be spurious. They were found. They went into the vehicle logs, so they were like, "Okay, no, they just got mistaken. Which pedal was which? It was definitely operator pressing the pedal. We have proof." And so initially, I was like, "Okay." When I hear about this unintentional acceleration, I was like, "Okay, somebody." I've been in a bad accident before. I've been rear-ended where I could have sworn to you, hand to God, my foot was on the brake at the moment that I started being aware of what had happened. And then I looked down and I realized I was holding the pedal down and I was the one pressing my car into somebody else's. So I know that there's room for human error for it. But that was until I saw this video. And I'm like, I remember, I think T-Sportsline and some of the other Tesla third-party accessories, they make throttle and brake covers that are just like these. And when we first got our trucks, I was like, "Oh, that's cool. It kind of has those already." Mm-hmm. Like they went ahead and embraced the look of it. Mm-hmm. So when I saw this video and saw that it just popped right off, I was like, "Oh, that is going to be a problem." Because if there is something there that can obviously detach and become an obstruction to either being able to accelerate or not accelerate or being unable to brake or having it lodged in the brake, I mean, that's an issue. So, yeah, by the time that I had seen this video, I was like, okay, that's an issue. I get that there's a significant amount of conversation about, okay, what are the chances that you're going to dislodge it? He couldn't in this video. I don't think that even he could accurately replicate what he's claiming happened, where it became lodged in the interior and kept the throttle pressed down. So a lot of naysayers are like, no, it's not even an issue. This dude admits he can't even do it like that. But I'm still like, no, that's a problem. Because that could easily get stuck somewhere. You know, I'm not saying it'll happen for everybody every time, but it's a liability. And I think that's why we're seeing Tesla being like, okay, this is something. We need something. So.
Totally. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. That it's like, if it, obviously it's coming off, so they need to like fix the adhesive. But the fact that he couldn't recreate it, that's where I was throwing up a lot of questions. I'm like, wait a minute. Like he obviously... There's a difference between holding your hand down and holding the pedal down and then actually like slamming your foot on that. But like, I couldn't even see where it could actually get lodged in a way that the pedal spring itself would not dislodge it. Yeah. And that's where I was like, okay, if we can see that recreated, then, you know, I would retract my thoughts, but still it's like, I'm sure that this actually happened because it's also like his, you know, his, first-hand story that has kind of sparked this. I'm pretty sure he's not lying, but it's also questionable of like, okay, once he let off pressure from his foot, it looks like what would have happened is that the pedal would have released. But honestly, in the moment, he probably didn't realize that he just went from, you know, gas to brake, which in this case, the brake will overwrite whatever the accelerator is doing, even if it's already pressed down. So, yeah, so it's like, there's some safety checks.
There are four safety systems, I think, in the Tesla system. Because the last unintended accelerations, they were like, it's literally not possible to send a throttle signal if it detects a brake.
Right.
So, like, if you're touching the brake, it cannot tell the engine to move or something.
Right. But the internet still went crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's with the territory of Tesla and Cybertruck, right? I mean, that it's so everything is so polarizing that the people who love it will defend it till death, and the people who hate it are gonna any little you know crack that they see, they're gonna try to push right through. So,
I think Tesla's stuck at a unique moment right now because it's like they've got this new vehicle at a time when economically the world seems to be saying we're not interested in buying brand new cars right now because of a lot of money concerns, which is completely valid. So I think that Tesla's kind of like, okay, well, we released this truck at a time when we knew it probably won't sell very well. So, you know, we got to back it up. And I just think that every news outlet right now is kind of like waiting to witness the golden boy Elon Musk fall. It's like there's a lot of things to fault him for, but it's like when you look at the company itself and the guidance up to this point, I think that there is a kind of an interest of who's going to capture the Hindenburg bird, who's going to be there the moment and be like, aha, I got them, you know. And I think that everybody's kind of wondering what's going to happen next because it's like the stock is down big. There's a shareholder, you know, a meeting coming up about whether to pay him $56 billion, despite the fact that stock is down to 160 or 150 a share. So I think that everybody's hoping to be the one to capture the moment of impact or something with them.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting times with Tesla and everything that's going on. Real quick, Hugo, one of our regular viewers, is in chat just saying good evening. So good evening, Hugo.
What up, Hugo? Thanks for coming back, man.
And then also Jay is asking if he should check his accelerator pedal. What's your guys' opinion on that? What should people be doing to kind of...
I've seen other people actually do the same thing. They're like, well, my pedal seems okay. So, I mean, yeah, maybe give it a wiggle, but it's like, it's the other thing to consider is that this issue could have cropped up more recently in later VINs that probably wasn't an issue in ours. It could have been something in manufacturing that, you know, this group of like 300 trucks have this issue potentially, but you know. You don't know.
Yeah, hopefully it's isolated to a limited number of VINs.
And right. I would imagine that, you know, legally speaking, liability speaking, chances are once they start doing deliveries again, they'll go back through all the previous VINs and say, okay, we're going to do the fix that we did with the other cars. We're just going to go back and do it with yours. But I do think that as far as I'm concerned, I'm not worried about it because the way that I'm convinced the incident happened is a driving style I know I don't do. I don't stomp the pedal. I don't really thrust anything. I'm so boring. I just like to tap it and enjoy it. I mean, it's got so much speed. It was great. But I think that this guy, and by his own admission, he had kind of stomped on that throttle. So I'm like, all right, well, I won't be rough with the throttle and I'll assume that it'll stay in place. But it looked like the stomping of the throttle probably played a part in whatever geometrically happened to cause that acceleration. So an issue, yes. For everybody, I'd wager to say it's probably a pretty small contingent, but it's something that they have to fix, and good on them for doing it.
Right. Yeah, it seems like they've been on top of it even before this video came out. It sounded like that they were aware that this is coming up. And even some people called it out. They're like, they're already aware of this issue. You're late to the game. Even commenting on the video itself, so it's like, okay, I think people were aware that they're going to jump on it, which honestly they should. So I think a lot of people were criticizing Tesla to being like, oh, why didn't they fix this sooner? It's like, well, they're literally fixing it as they found out. So it's like, the fact that it slipped through, yes, that could be, you know, pointed out as criticism, but still, it's That's manufacturing. That's mass manufacturing. Stuff like this is going to happen.
So yeah. I'll give a little story. So my Ram 3500 that I recently got rid of, I had three recalls that would pop up on my screen and tell me that this is a major recall, immediately call service and get this fixed, right? Mm-hmm. I had that for about a year and like 2 months until they actually fixed it. And they only fixed two of them. When I got rid of the truck, it still had one of them outstanding. So my point is that all manufacturers go through recalls. All manufacturers find out that there's, you know, some type of flaw, you know, for lack of a better term, with their vehicles. And they issue a recall, you bring it in, you get it fixed, and that's normal practice. Tesla isn't any different. And do you want these issues? No, obviously you don't. But is this normal in this industry? Yes. And so to make it bigger than what it really needs to be, then that's, you know, I understand it's a safety issue, but, you know, I mean,
totally just doing whatever.
Yeah.
The future is here. The robot uprising is happening. And it's not like that. It's literally like this is a mechanical accessory failure that cascades into unintended acceleration in the sense of I can't get it to stop accelerating. Like, you know, hearing about a Powerade bottle getting jammed up underneath the accelerator or something and causing it to continue to throttle for some reason until you throw it to neutral. I think that it's disingenuous that the news and the media continue to say the big text out loud without ever offering the whole, like, no, there's a little bit more to this. You're being a little bit full of when you're like, unintended acceleration. It's like, no, he stomped the pedal, so it was very intended. It's just something broke. So please correct it. But they don't. There's less interest in doing that than there is getting
of course.
People, like we talked before, like kind of on Tesla.
More interest in shorting Tesla than not.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on from that topic because we don't need to feed into it as much as
they want to. I think that it's going to disappear with as little like fanfare as corrosion and the rusting thing happened. It's like the extreme went off into, oh my god, the trucks are all just rusting rust buckets in people's driveways. And then everybody else is like, oh, they probably addressed that or they probably addressed it or whatever. But no, you don't hear about the rest of it. Same thing with the accelerator thing. People are going to be like, oh my god, is your truck, are you worried? It's just going to like, just take off. No, I'm not. And most people I feel like are not. So I think it's going to be another one of those. They fixed it, but for the next 6 months, people are going to be like, are you worried?
Yeah.
In April.
It's funny that you say that because I was at dinner with my sister and my brother-in-law on Monday, and my brother-in-law brought this up and asked me, hey, is it, you know, are you concerned? I said, no.
You are the subject of water cooler politics now by driving this car.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's like, if I was Elon Musk, I'd recall them all and make them look like a Ford, you know, or something. Like, or it's just, you're a part of that conversation. That's all you can kind of do is be like, yeah, that's interesting. Okay, that's all right. Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
I made the joke that my Cybertruck's going to be, my rusting Cybertruck is going to drive itself into the Hollywood sign because it's the pedal was stuck down. You know, the memes write themselves at this point, you know?
Oh my gosh, they do.
What's the next one?
It's become a formula. It's hilarious. You're right.
It's never ending. It is never ending. So the next topic I wanted to talk about was the newest update.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a lot in here, and there's a lot to unpack. So the first thing that they make note of here is the fact that there's power sharing vehicle to vehicle or vehicle to home. I'm sorry.
Just to clarify, this is the projected update, right?
It's not out yet. Yes, but this, okay. But there's already notes on it, and they're already they've made the announcements of this is what you're going to be getting once this update.
Which I love this version of Tesla. If they're like, "Hey, there's an update coming in like a week or two, and this is the shit you're going to get," like I'd be in for that every quarter. I'd be like, "Hell yes, good work, guys."
Yep. So yeah, so they have the vehicle to home power share using the universal wall connector and the gateway. And I know everybody's waiting on all that to get installed. I'm still waiting. I haven't had anything. Oh, speaking of that, I was talking to a gentleman, at EV Fest here in Southern California over the weekend. Nice. And he says that Tesla reached out to him via email about pretty much a pilot program where they're going to eliminate the electricians. And they're going to do the installs themselves.
Oh.
And he says Tesla, that he agreed to it because they asked him, would you be open to this? He agreed. They came out and they did the install for him.
Did they charge him?
Yes, I believe so.
Interesting.
So it sounds like they're trying to kind of get away from the electrician, third-party electrician, subcontracting them.
Interesting, yeah.
I get that. So then who did it? Just like Tesla?
It was Tesla.
Employees that were also certified to do...
It was probably their solar. It was probably their solar, their own in-house solar contractors.
Because when I had my Tesla solar initially installed, it was a third party that was basically given shirts like on the day. It was just put on.
Yeah. Okay. No, I from what he told me, it was Tesla that contacted him and stated that they were going to do the install. And it could be a subcontractor that's just wearing a Tesla shirt, you know, but that's what he says, that it wasn't your local electrician that originally contacted you, which
they probably employed them on some sort of a contracted rate, and then whatever extra, they paid them extra, but it was a third-party mom-pop, whatever, electrician.
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly. But nonetheless, they're just kind of saying, instead of putting it in the hands of the electricians to contact you and schedule it, Tesla's doing all that themselves.
Interesting.
So that's something that he brought up to me, and I was a little jealous that he had that done, and I did not. So going back to the update. So the power share seems to be coming. The colorizer, being able to change the color of the Cybertruck that's on your infotainment screen, which I think is cool just because everybody's kind of wrapping theirs. I think majority of people are doing that. And so that would be a nice little touch to be able to change the color of your digital Cybertruck. One thing I like is that they're changing the horn sound. I think we talked about it last episode or two episodes ago about having maybe like a cooler sounding horn for the Cybertruck.
209. You have 15 seconds to comply. My horn.
Exactly. Oh, and by the way, we were talking about our little gesture to other Cybertrucks. Yeah. I seen one the other day, and I wanted to do it, but they just went. They went too fast. I wasn't able to do it, but I was like so prepared. My wife was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm getting ready. I want to."
Chase is like, "If he had a Cyber Beast, it wouldn't be a problem. You would have caught right up to him."
Well, yeah. Right. Well, thanks a lot. Make me feel bad about my Cybertruck.
It's Austin. We see too many now. We're like, it's just like, it's another Cybertruck.
Yeah, they're popping up everywhere. But another feature is the cabin overheat protection.
Mm-hmm.
You can helps maintain a set temperature for up to 12 hours after you park. Nice. The turning radius is being improved.
Good. I heard about 3%.
Yeah,
it's stating here that it's about 1.6 feet, so 1.5 feet or so of a tighter turning radius.
The expression angle of the rear steering is so small, But they're like, okay, we have to express it in the feet of the radius of the turn it can make, as opposed to the angles of the wheels.
Yeah.
Right.
One thing I found interesting is that it says passenger vent can be completely closed. I don't know if it's just exclusive to passenger, because why can't the driver be completely closed? Preview of Sentry mode on your phone. You can delete.
Oh my god! Fucking finally.
That's a huge one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I think
enormous.
So.
That's enormous.
You could delete Sentry mode recordings from your vehicle dash cam app. New arcade games. Valet mode phone notifications when doors opened or switched from park. So that's kind of cool. If you're out and about and you have it in valet, you're able to kind of you get notifications. Rear screen improvements. Mm. One thing it's showing is current trip details, which I think is kind of cool, because if you have a kid like mine, my son loves to know, you know, how far along we are on our trip. Left scroll wheel customization, wiper control improvements, which I don't know about you guys, but ever since they did the auto on the windshield wiper, it's still a little finicky for me.
Yeah.
So it was fully raining the other day and it wasn't going, and it was on auto. So I was still having to press that button.
It seemed
manually.
Very sleepy on mine too. I was like, this isn't enough for you? This seems it's like rain to me.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And it was, full on raining. So I don't know if there's anything you guys want to touch on there, but I'm really excited about this update. I can't wait till they actually drop it.
It sounds great. I think that the timing is kind of interesting given what we were just talking about with Pedalgate and the hold and the news backlash that got. I wonder if they went ahead and had this ready and were like, hey, let's push it out soon. Let's get get the news out there early to kind of get ahead. Or if this was just timed and it just happened to be a coincidence.
These notes are obviously specific to the Cybertruck.
Yes.
But is there a spring update coming for their whole fleet that kind of mimics this? I haven't seen anything on the subreddit, but I haven't really been looking for it. I kind of spit
it off. Yeah,
because
Sentry app could be across all Teslas.
That's because that's huge. That is something that has been begged for so long. I would be pissed if I was like a new Model 3 or Model Y or S or X, anybody. And I was like, I can't do that yet. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
No, I would assume that's going to be across
Okay, so there is one note that I'm seeing from 12 hours ago. So they're saying the 2024.14 release notes. And I think that it does bring other drastic changes to the rest of the lineup. And obviously we're talking about Cybertruck, so I mean, good for them. But it's... Yeah, it does look like there's a significant number of updates. So, with regards to this one, I'm pretty stoked about the idea that Tesla is... the Cybertruck is out. Maybe this is the indicator that they are going to start focusing on their software. Start focusing on their user experience. Because this is one of the main updates, is about which vehicles will get it. So, I mean, that's going to be divisive across which MCU you have. But the main UI mimics what we have in the Cybertruck, with the vehicle kind of main screen with the lines indicating unlock, lock, whatever. And it doesn't have the weird Cybertruck terrain, but it looks like it is kind of what we already have. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, 100%. This is going to be cool.
I'm hoping that this is, the watershed moment where it's like, okay, they released the Cybertruck. The Roadster is for the billionaire, so whatever. They'll get a car someday. But these updates, I mean, Tesla, they have, I think, claimed to be huge in software, but not demonstrated how good they are. And maybe this is the first hearken call for it. Maybe this is them starting. I just don't. There's so much potential.
They need to, because there's so much software-wise, right, that's missing. That needs to be implemented to just enhance that experience, because the truck is cool, right? It's extremely fun to drive, extremely comfortable. It's a fantastic road trip vehicle. You want to use it, but you want features. You want, you know, you want everybody to be able to do things like, you know, the back screen with the, finally they added the Bluetooth capabilities. You know, that's great for the kids, you know, having the ability to play video games back there. Hopefully they update that soon. So that way the kids can play back there with their headphones on, and they need to start doing that just to get families excited to use the vehicle, not only just buy it, but to then use it, you know? And by using it, that's going to also help accelerate the full self-driving, right? It's because they would need those miles. And so, I agree with you, Will. I think that right now it seems like, or hopefully this is the beginning of software being updated and upgraded, and we can start enjoying the truck a little bit more.
Oh, no problem. Yeah.
So we have an interesting comment or question that I know we were going to touch on. So let's just go ahead and jump into that. We have Mitch is asking if we have any idea on when they will be stopping the Foundation series. So let me throw that up real quick.
This is new as of today or this week?
This is news to me as of today. I mean, it could have been yesterday, but it's new. So what it's showing here is there's no longer a Foundation series reference on the reservation page on Tesla's website.
Right.
So this is indicating, and also it's stating that all deliveries will take place in 2025. So what do you guys, how do you guys read that?
Well, the biggest one is right there at the top. That's the single motor. This is the first time we've even seen that available.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And it's showing the same availability or the same timeline as the other vehicles or the other variants.
So, and at 61K, which is kind of a little higher than what we thought, too.
I will say two things. First off, 0 to 60 in 6.5, that's how heavy this freaking truck is. Because they can only do one motor and get it going that fast. I think that's the slowest 0 to 60 of any Tesla vehicle being advertised right now.
Yes.
But anyway, the other thing is you know, if you're a copywriter or whoever, I'm okay, so what's the difference between available in 2025 and delivery in 2025? Available in 2025 tells me you can order it. Delivery in 2025 tells me you can drive it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it's just going to be them even starting to offer a $61,000 Cybertruck.
Nice.
That you can only order it in 2025, let alone maybe drive it.
Right.
That's a good catch on your part, Will, because I didn't catch that. It says available in 2025 for the single motor, and the Dual and Cyber Beast are saying delivery in 2025. So yes, it could quite possibly be that the single motor, you will be able to order it at some point in 2025, possibly not take delivery in 2025.
Yeah.
I think you will be able to, but
I think that you're right. I think it has to do with the shrinking and expanding, the demand that they're facing, and what it looks like. Because I think the other thing that I'm super happy to see them committing to 2025 as far as deliveries for non-Foundation series, especially since I think I read on socials, even Elon Musk was indicating that they have a backup design or something like that for the Cybertruck, so that if they needed to be like, okay, we're going to retire this in like within a year or two, we're just going to pivot to this other design, they allegedly have something ready to go. So seeing this, I'm like, okay, this at least gives them another year or two where I want to see them really try and deliver, keep delivering these. Don't puss out. Don't build a Dodge Ram. Keep this thing because it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think they're going away from this. I mean, that would be admitting that this was wrong the whole time. And
it's just not a good
Tesla doesn't need to do that. know, Elon doesn't need to do that. So
3 million reservations says all it needs right there.
Yeah, you don't need to do that. So hopefully, Mitch, that answers the question. It looks like Foundation Series is done. What are we at roughly, VIN wise? What do you guys think?
I haven't looked in a while. Have they been still reporting them on the Cybertruck forum? Because I know they were tracking them.
It's been trickling in. We've seen them in the 6,000s, but yeah, I still think there's probably only about like over 5,000 trucks on the road right now.
Yeah,
if I had to guess.
I want to. I'm checking right now. I want to see what this tells me.
We talked about the podcast last week that they hit, you know, 1,000 trucks in 1 week. So production wise, assuming that there's actually probably more than just 5,000 trucks made, but who knows if they've already been sold and given out yet?
Yeah, I'm looking at one of the posts on the Cybertruck forum. And they're saying, as of Thursday, they're like, yeah, I got my Cyber Beast VIN this afternoon, and they're in the 7,000s. And so that was a week ago. So okay. I'm like, okay, so, yeah, I guess creeping up on 8,000 would probably be the accurate estimate.
So 8,000, and then all the trucks that haven't been delivered, and then for the rest of the year. So what do you guys think? What's your speculation on what the Foundation Series will end at?
Well, so before this recent change on the Tesla Cybertruck page, didn't we note before that they seemingly had stopped taking any kind of orders for 2024 delivery? I thought it was this is the newest one without Foundation Series being referenced, but there was one I thought before it where it still was kind of referencing Foundation Series, but it didn't seem like there were any more deliveries that they would claim this year. So either you're going to get invited, or you're sitting on your thumb until January.
Yeah, or you're already invited and you're just waiting on a VIN, which seems like a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
That VIN, because I think it took us like 2 months, but I've heard even up to like 3 months, people have been waiting on a VIN still.
Yeah, I don't remember the dates, but I think I read something somewhere where somebody. Somebody placed their order like maybe 2 weeks after I did, and they still haven't received their VIN yet. And I think I saw that
there was somebody else. It's not in one of our states, but they also were like, yeah, I ordered on January 9th or something like that. And they still haven't gotten a VIN.
Well, I don't know if you guys, watch or follow TFL on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, you know, let them use my Cybertruck for one of their videos or a few of their videos, and they came out here to California and we did some videos together. And so anyways, I've been a fan of theirs for a while. They're still waiting. They're in Colorado. They're still waiting on their Cybertruck. And they just posted a video a few days ago about how they're kind of fed up and they're at the point of just canceling and moving on because they just can't understand why they haven't received a Cybertruck. And and that was the reason why I reached out to them and had them come out to look at mine and use mine for content for them, is because I felt like, you know, I enjoy their channel and the fact that, you know, they're a fairly large channel and they don't have access to a Cybertruck. I thought that was just crazy to me. So
totally. Yeah. Just the timing of this almost alludes to possibly, you know, that initial guess that we had of like 10,000 units might be probably pretty close to what the Foundation Series is going to be, which I would be shocked.
Real quick, Will, sorry. Mitch is asking if you can adjust your mic. He's saying that it's a little hard to hear you.
Oh, okay. Any better?
Maybe.
Yeah. Better. You sound better to me, so you should be fine.
I did see, though, this week, there was someone who said that they had got the reservation call, like, the day after we got ours in December, and went with the Cyber Beast, and they're still waiting. So, it's kind of a good thing that, like, if we would have decided to pivot, went with the Beast, we'd still not have a truck right now.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And that would be very frustrating.
Right.
So Mitch is also asking if we know of any updates on the shareholders early delivery program. He's saying that he knows that the deadline is closed.
I personally have no experience with it, but I have seen a couple of Twitter influencers or other people who have used that or at least the program to use points, the 30,000 referral points to bump their place in line, and they got their vehicle.
Yeah, I know that was a popular thing, and then they took it away, and then I think they brought it back, right? I'm pretty sure that's what they did with the $30,000 or 30,000 credit, kind of bump up your reservation. I think they brought back. I'm not sure if that's still around, but
I think it's ended. I thought that they sunsetted it with the end of the year, you know, quote unquote, no more deliveries until 2025 new orders, kind of a thing. But if Tesla would tell us, that'd be fantastic. Any of this, it'd be great. But
no.
We're just
Well, let's get into the next thing. You know, we were talking about updates, so let's kind of touch on Rivian a little bit, because I know that Will got an update on his.
Mm-hmm.
Or they put out some update notes, and Will is a Rivian owner now, so I know he was excited about this.
I think we were nerding out about the fact that I come from a background of like building and messing around with computers since I was little, and so the plight of the software dev is not lost on me. I appreciate them, and I appreciate their notes, because God, nobody wants to solve problems and document how you solved it. But still, we were talking in the Discord chat. We were talking about the fact that, like, Netflix's. Why is that Netflix? Weird. Tesla's notes for like the last two Cybertruck updates have just been like minor fixes. Yeah, I need to get another glass.
Yeah,
it's like minor fixes and updates, and it's like so many software updates are just minor fixes and updates. And I sent everybody the Rivian updates, and I'm like, oh man, good on them for actually acknowledging like. Fixed a rare issue that caused the driver display to show an extra non-functional garage door open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just cool stuff like that. I'm like, please, it would be so amazing if Tesla would just start documenting that stuff. Because I think that everybody was jokingly being like, why don't we see any update notes on full self-driving? So then the full self-driving note updates became ridiculous.
Right.
You know, like he's just like, 10.4% less bias for pedestrian cross pass binary amygdala fashion sense number one. It's insane when you read them now. So I just appreciate that it's like, but please document this stuff, because I want to know what you're doing completely to my car.
Right.
Well, I'm reading this one right here, and I like this one. It says, improved pet comfort temperature control by increasing the amount of airflow in the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
That's
smart. I mean, it's just giving – it's building that trust that I think Tesla has ignored for a long time that I think is normal in software development. Like, I work in game development in my day-to-day, and I'm very aware. Like, if you just push out an update and says, oh, it's just minor updates – you can hide a lot of things in those minor updates if you're not explicitly saying something, that they can be probably major updates that you just didn't want to admit to. So I know that just them saying minor updates is very suspicious. But it seems like their release notes have only been feature first. It doesn't seem like they ever really mentioned like, oh, we fixed this bug. It's always like, hey, we put this new feature in. So, like, they almost, like, phrase a bug fix as a new feature.
Well, yeah, I like what they're doing, and hopefully Tesla can learn from our buddies over there at Rivian.
And this is what I was saying before with Tesla. I'm like, I'm really genuinely hoping that it's like, okay, the Cybertruck is out. There's no other cars you're teasing right now. Apparently the Model 25 or Model 2 or whatever you're going to call it seems to not be an issue. So please tell us about all the awesome software you're going to do with these cars. Mm-hmm. For years, I think Model 3 and Model Y owners heard SNX owners rave about the fact that it's like, dude, I walked out and I felt like I owned a new car this morning. Because they rolled out some update that increased the 0 to 60 time. Or I suddenly got 20 extra miles of range out of my car. Or all of these things. And they used to admit to it. They would explain it. They did so much. And nowadays it's kind of like, you know, hey, we put Polytopia on your car. So what's up? You know, like it's, I think everybody's excited to hear about what they're doing to improve the vehicle from here on out. I'm really hoping they do it. That would be awesome.
Right.
Well, I want to jump into our weekly segments that we do here on the podcast. I want to do want to start with the wrap of the week. Let me pull that up real quick. Not sure if you guys seen this one.
I love it.
The Tron.
I'm down.
I guess.
Yep.
I want to do something like this. I've been thinking about it. It's like, if I had more money or I had more time to do it, I'd be like, I want to do a vinyl wrap where it's like Tron, exactly those highlight lights,
mm-hmm.
like doing with LEDs so that they're not just reactive, but actually make them active. But that looks so amazing.
That looks really good.
Really sick.
That looks really, really good.
Is this the same one that was orange too?
I don't know.
Same one.
It was orange and they changed it?
Yeah, it looked like exactly like this, but it was orange. So I wonder if there was two that was done like this.
Possibly.
But yeah, it's kind of the same idea where like the trim is all reactive, which is really cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, he's got that black gloss that really mm-hmm. kind of shines it. And then, yeah, it's like in a way, I kind of wish that it's like he would just do some of his own lines. I feel like there's space that you can fill.
There's definitely space, but that just that picture that doesn't even look real, right? That looks CGI. Mm-hmm. That's just
right.
I love it. I thought they hit it out of the park. Hey, well, I think these guys are in Huntington Beach, Will. So if you want to get that done, go check those guys out.
Yeah, this last weekend we did a pretty cool event, or I showed up to an event that was being put on here in Austin, where they spray painted live a Cybertruck. It turned out pretty cool. And then
I got an invite to that. I'm like, guys, I don't live in Austin, but that looks awesome.
I mean, it was cool.
Well, I didn't get an invite. What the hell?
It's on Instagram. Like, they didn't friend you. It's Cyberpunk Rad, I think is the
yeah.
Hand.
Cyberpunk
nobody
Rad.
Check them out. Nobody friends me.
Yeah, it was an artist, I think, went by Wise Wolf. It was really cool because he's got like a certain style. He does everything with like spray paint, so it kind of fit that he was spray painting the truck in his own style. And the plan was they basically wrapped the whole truck in plastic except for the metal and the aero caps. So kudos to him for still having aero caps, but it seemed like this was a really low VIN, like a 100 kind of level VIN. And yeah, he wanted to make it a spectacle out of it and wrap it with, you know, a custom artwork piece. So they spray painted it while we were there at the event. We had like, I think 10 or 12 other Cybertrucks all kind of parked around, like with a DJ and stuff. That was cool. And the plan, they're going to be wrapping it with a clear PPF to basically like lock in the painting. So it'll be like an actual, you know, look now.
Now that I saw that. I think you posted some clips of that event, and that looked really cool. That was like a whole scene, and it looked cool. It looked I like that people are doing things like that, right? They're being real artistic with it. I know that Will's talked about that, wanting to do something different and artistic with his Cybertruck, So they kind of copied you, Will. Maybe that's why you got the invite, because they wanted to give you the credit.
Honestly, there's a paranoid part of me. It's probably the weed, but it's probably – I thought that briefly that I was like, did they, like, come up with that? Did I post that somewhere? Somebody saw it? I'm like,
no, you just talked about it freely in the podcast.
Yeah. That may be it. Otherwise, I'm like, you know what? People think to tag things all the time. I'm sure somebody was like, yeah, we're tagging. So Either way, I love, it's like nobody else buys a car and they're like, let me hire a graffiti artist to tag it, or somebody's going to do something like that. But they're doing that with this truck. Like, it's awesome, you know?
It is. It is like, super awesome.
Do that to my Acura Integra or whatever. You know, nobody cares. Do that to my Civic.
Nothing wrong with Acura Integras or Civics.
No,
okay?
I'm not calling you guys out. Come on, nothing but love. If you drive what you love, that's awesome. You know, I'm just saying, it's like, it's been so long since I remember a car being so bizarre and so interesting and so embraced so far.
I went to an event a few weeks ago, and there was a bunch of JDM car owners, right? So they had their Hondas and Acuras and all that. And there was an Instagram page, you know, that was there. And they have, I don't know, 30,000 or 20,000 followers. And they're all into, you know, gas vehicles, JDM, tuner, all that stuff. And so I show up with the Cybertruck, right? And so, you know, they came and they asked me if I wanted to do an interview, and they rag and tease and, you know, jump all over EVs on their channel. And I don't know who they are. I mean, I'm old now, so I don't know any of these, you know, trendy channels or, you know, people on Instagram. So anyway, so I didn't know who they were. And they asked if I wanted to do an interview. Well, they posted my interview on their channel or on their Instagram. And yeah, they make fun of me. So don't make fun of them, okay? Because they're going to come at us and they're going to make fun of me when I'm out there in the streets.
That was one thing, actually, taking it back to the painting event. That was kind of cool. We got to meet one of the heads of the Tesla owners group out here, and he gets to talking to me. I guess he was inspired by the wrap that we did with our truck. So he actually is shipping his truck right now out to T Sportline, and they're going to wrap his in like a platinum black. That it's not going to be transparent, but it's actually going to be a kind of a close kind of color to what we've got. So he's very excited to see our truck. And then he was like, "Hey, do you want me to like FaceTime Sandy Monroe?" I was like, "I've got him right now." And I'm like, "Yes, do it," because I hadn't got to meet Sandy Monroe when he came out to do the video with Farzad. So like time went by, and then finally, I think we called, and then he had a call back, but eventually we got Sandy up on FaceTime. So we got to meet over FaceTime, which was fun. And then he ran around showing Sandy like the event, and then talking to other Cybertruck owners that were like going crazy, like, "Oh my God." Like, cause it's like half of them were Tesla employees, cause it's Austin. So they were like super excited to see Sandy, you know, on a phone call. That's cool. Yeah, he's like a celebrity.
Is that him right there?
The what?
Can you guys see it or no?
Oh, it's not pulled up.
Let me see if I can. Is it showing you anything or no?
No.
No. Okay. All right. I tried.
but that
was cool that you were able to have a conversation with Sandy. That's, you know,
quick little
you're
out time.
There you're a mover and shaker. What can we say?
Make waves if we can.
Talking about JDM and gas vehicles and people making fun of us and, you know, all that, I wanted to show the what were they thinking for this week. Because it really is, what were they thinking? So, here's these guys. So, there seems to be a diesel 3,000 horsepower diesel truck. They're at an event. You can see it smoking. He's just revving. He's on a dyno. Boom.
Oh, wow.
And there's a guy inside. You see him right there to the left, jump out.
Let me tell you how this is going to hurt Tesla sales. You see, the fire is a problem.
So, and you know, I don't want to make fun of anybody because it's not, it's a scary situation. You don't want to make fun of anybody, but I just want to show how if that was a Tesla that was on a dyno revving mm-hmm. and exploded, the amount of news that that would get would be unbelievable. But, yeah. You know, you don't really hear anything about this, but that's extremely dangerous. That guy's lucky he was able to jump out of that vehicle.
There's a part of me that looks at us and there's like, hey, you know, how much explosives can we put under this stump to blow it up before it potentially will kill us? And right. some of these builds that I see people doing, and this dude just revving it up, 3,000 horsepower diesel explosion. There's a part of me that it's like, this dude doesn't care about what the manufacturer limits probably are. And so when I make fun of him and I laugh at him, there's a part of me where it's like, yeah, you know, you probably exceeded the threshold of a few things that were warned about in the user manual. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel a lot of remorse. So, I mean, him blowing up his truck, I hope nobody got hurt.
But look how much black smoke is coming out of that thing before it exploded.
Then there's that. I mean, Jesus Christ, the thing's on fire, for crying out loud, my guy.
It's ridiculous. So, all right, that was the what were you thinking? I don't know what they were thinking.
What was he thinking? That's the important. That's, you know.
I have no idea.
Like, I built it and it didn't burn. It didn't blow up yet, so I'm pretty sure it'll be fine. I think that's what he was thinking.
Meanwhile, we saw another Cybertruck go through floodwaters recently this week. So
right?
that's cool to see.
They're out there navigating the apocalypse.
Which I feel like Accelerator Gate took over for the battery pack gate, which was the, you know, Sandy tore down the battery pack on the Cybertruck and it found a whole bunch of empty space. And a Tesla engineer on Twitter was like, it's only half full.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually, like, it came out that it's like, no, it's meant to only be half full because it pressurizes the pack and mm-hmm. use the extra space for pressurization. Yep. And it was the most hilarious, like, sorry, guys. It was, gotta look.
I almost forgot about that because I think it happened right after we finished the last podcast. But yeah, it was a huge thing. Cause, like,
it was the end of last week.
The same thing. I thought, I was like, oh, that looks like a weird gap of space. And someone was like, no, watch the video. But then, like, yeah, the Sandy Monroe video just kind of laid it out and explained it, that we were looking at the bottom half of the battery. And mm-hmm. that bottom half has enough air gap for both ventilation, but also room for crumple. So, like, if any kind of, like, lower penetration would happen, it's got crumple zone so that you're not actually going to penetrate straight into the battery, or at least kind of lessen that chance, which is smart design. Like, looking through it now, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
I have a question for you guys. Do you foresee... because I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit in previous episodes, but do you guys foresee the charging rate at home? I mean, because right now, what, it charges at about 27 miles per hour on the level two Tesla charger, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure, Will, you know, with your probably Model X, you get a higher rate, right? In the Cybertruck?
I'm not entirely sure. I'd have to pull... I run TeslaMate and log all of it, so I can pull it up in a few minutes. My Model X at home charges, I think, roughly the same, because I usually set them to, like, on the wall charger. I have a wall charger set up that's 48 amps, and I have mm-hmm. one of the Gen 1 earlier mobile chargers from my first Model X that I just hung on to, because it still does 40 amps. Versus the other mobile chargers that still only do 32 amps on the NEMA 1450 plug. So I've still got that one. But I think that they still, both of them, just, like, max out whatever the amps are, and that's kind of the max charging.
Like, well, because I know I did a small little video early on after taking delivery of the Cybertruck, and I forget exactly what the Model S was getting, but it was more. 48 amp, same charger, same breaker, uh-huh. same, everything's the same. It's just the Cybertruck's maxing out at. So that, I guess that was my question, is do we foresee that improving. And the reason why I bring this up here, I'll just go ahead and show you guys this. I was just scrolling through the Cybertruck forum, and this gentleman's, you know, pretty much raising the question of why am I at 48 amps, and based on his calculations, he should be getting 40 miles per hour, but he's only getting 27. And so, just reading that and wanted to pose that.
Because it just showed it just a second ago. It scrolled past. It said he's only charging at 30 amps out of four potential 48. He has it set to 48, but it's only charging at 30.
Mm.
There you go.
That's where it says 30 over 48. That's why he's getting fewer.
Yeah. Mine, yeah, well, I don't know what mine is.
Scroll down
mine
a bit more. Let me see what it shows. Yeah, so it
right
says,
here
still
it says 48 out of 48.
Yeah, so that one's still getting 48 out of 48. Why is it 27 miles an hour?
I mean, that's what mine charges at, is 27 miles per hour.
Yeah, I think mine does too.
But it's just, it could just be like what we've talked about, that they haven't fine-tuned it yet, so.
So I've got, mine's charging right now, and I've got 48 amps, 11 kilowatts. But it doesn't show the mileage. It doesn't show how many miles it's at per hour.
And that's in your Tesla Mate, you said?
Yeah, that's on my little app.
Mm.
But yeah, it's showing 48 amps plus 6 kilowatt hours. But
okay, all right.
I don't do the conversion to miles thing. I just everything's energy based.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mainly just kind of curious to see with the V4 chargers, how we're going to get an update to charge these things faster at Supercharger. But yeah, I'm not sure about at home. That'd be interesting. It looks like that there is some room.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll go ahead and fine tune that and get that. Now, I did hear when I was at that event over the weekend as well, there was a gentleman there that mentioned that there's a V4 charger here in Southern California that he gave me the location. So I want to go check that out, but it's not unlocked yet, right? So
right.
I don't know if I want to make that drive for...
We may not have whatever optimizations will fully take advantage of the V4.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I think I still want to go over there just to kind of check out the stalls.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thinner, longer cables and see, because up until that intel from him, I didn't know that there was, I didn't know of any version 4 chargers around where I'm at. So
right, and it would be interesting to see how many pull through charger stations they have out of the V4s. Supposedly, that's also coming with all the newer ones.
You guys know how I feel about all that. they need pull through at every charger should. Mm-hmm. Supercharging station should have pull through.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because it's like most gas stations, they're pull through. So, I mean,
right.
It's like you've already built so much infrastructure for towing and trucking anyway.
I understand existing why maybe, I mean, they're not going to go in there and tear it all up and mm-hmm. put a pull through. I could understand that. But any new ones that they're building needs to have pull through. And they need to put big enough pull through, because I've seen some of the newer ones and they have small little itty bitty pull throughs. And I'm like, I mean, you have this Cybertruck that can tow 11,000 pounds and you're giving them enough space to tow like the smallest little trailer there ever was. I mean, there's people that are going to really want to utilize that 11,000 pounds and have a big trailer. So
I think that it's definitely a pitfall of Tesla doing a truck that, they obviously, they're posting the stats. They're like, here's the trucking, here's the towing range, here's the towing capability, here's it towing our competitor while we drag race it for some reason. Like, they have plenty of stuff to be like, hey, we were taking this seriously. So it'd be nice to see them kind of follow through and be like, by the way, here are the paths most often, you know, trailed or towed on, and we're going to start working on this, and then we've also got these other things we're going to start adding in for adding on. Pull through or the equivalent of for people who take advantage of it, you know,
right?
Because they're obviously trying to advertise to it, so they're going to have to acknowledge it at some point.
I concur. Last topic that I have here is something that I know Will brought up. And that is the fact that it looks like Tesla is telling people that they do not want to buy their Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so what they're doing is they're allowing people to sell their Cybertruck on the secondary market. And, you know, so it seems like it's going to be open game at that point.
It does make me think that it's like, okay, so you've got at least two sellers that I've found in just a few hours when we were chatting. Mm-hmm. And I found two different people being like, yeah, we contacted Tesla. They're not interested in buying them back at this time. And literally, there's the language right there. And they have right of first refusal, and they aren't buying back Cybertrucks. So, Mike, you know, the initial reaction is like, okay, is that they're not buying Cybertrucks from anybody buying them back? In which case, it's just free-for-all. You can sell them, you can scalp them, whatever. Which, mm-hmm. chances are, that's where they're at. Because if there's 10,000 of them available or shifting around, you know, the scalp price or whatever you call it is, what, 150,000 seems to be on the average is what they're asking for. So mm-hmm. I think that we're starting to see that spot of, okay, before you limited the possibility of resale based on the fact that it was a limited item, but now you're acknowledging that it's not a limited item. You've got parking lots full of them. You got 8,000, 7,000 bins assigned. It's obviously not super limited, and you're selling them into next year. So obviously they're like, all right, yeah, we sold enough of them that we're like, we don't care. So if people are trying to sell them, then this is what's happening now.
Well, you also mentioned that they have parking lots full of them. I don't think they're going to want to add any more used ones,
yeah.
Right?
So buying them back with more mileage, like,
there's no point.
Yeah, from their perspective, it doesn't make any sense for them to buy them back, because then they're just going to sit in the parking lot until who knows when, maybe a year from now, that they would want to do the retail. But it just makes me wonder too. It's like, especially that group is a fairly large group, but I know it was a top contributor. But I'm just kind of curious of like if this is actually still officially coming back from Tesla, or if it's just possible that he's just trying to say that to try to attract a serious buyer. Because I know the buyers seem to be aware of the resale clause as well.
Yeah,
or at least a few of them are.
I don't think that. Yeah, I think that they're and since there are two different sellers who are like, yeah, we were told go ahead and sell it. Yeah, right. So I mean, I feel like that supports enough to be like, all right, so the chances are everybody's free to sell them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, if anything, it'll
pass that tipping
point. Kill the off-sale market. You know, that we won't see that 200,000 plus number anymore.
Yeah, I think those days are gone, right?
Right.
Yeah, it seemed like it was only a few vehicles. It was like three or four of them, because it was like 240, right. 220, 219, 215, and then everyone that I've seen since then is like 180, 160, 150, and then 150 seems to be like the spot. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right, guys. Well, I mean, is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about? Anything you guys wanted to touch on before we wrap it up?
That's pretty much it.
Not really. I mean,
no. Okay.
I mean, a lot of things happened this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like last week was a little bit. It was slow, right?
It's mm-hmm. yeah.
This
it's
week
a,
was.
It's a Cybertruck
pretty busy.
Podcast, and there's a lot of Tesla conversation to have. So, but yeah. But yeah, as far as Cybertruck pertinent stuff, I feel like we're good.
We're all good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I appreciate it. Chase, good luck. So, when are you? How long are you out there, Chase?
Just this week. So I'll be back in office on Monday.
Okay. All right. Well, safe travels and enjoy your week. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you. See ya.
All right.